Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. A new musical adaptation of King Kong opened at the Broadway Theater on November 8th, directed by Drew McConey, with a book by Jack Thorne and music by Marius DeVries and Eddie Perfect. Eric William Morris plays fast-talking filmmaker Carl Denham, the man responsible for moving the giant ape from Skull Island to New York City so he can capitalize on the spectacle of Kong's size. Morris made his Broadway debut in Corum Boy and played Sky in Mamma Mia. He's also appeared often in film and on television and is a company member of Animus. Eric William Morris, welcome to the Roundtable.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell me how you became a part of this monstrous production.
Monstrous production. it's this age-old story where I auditioned, and then I got the part.
Cool.
Yeah, so
breaking molds everywhere you go.
Right. A brand new way to get on Broadway. So I'm going to get it about, what month is it? More than a year ago. It was like May 2016 or something. The script came through and I was out of town and I wasn't able to audition for it. I came back in. They had a workshop for King Kong in November of last year and I was finally able to audition and able to check out the script, and it was fantastic and like so much more than I thought it would be. Because at first I was like, oh, King Kong musical, what is this going to be? And then I read the script and I was like, oh, it's really quite good. And then I heard the songs and I was like, I think I have to be a part of this. And then we did like a three-week workshop in November, and then here we are about 2 months into rehearsal and ready to go. Yeah.
New book by Jack Thorne. Tell me a little bit about what is special about this telling. What's different from previous iterations of King Kong?
For sure. Jack Thorne, who's this brilliant playwright, responsible for the Harry Potter play on Broadway.
Right? Heard of it?
Yep, heard of it. It's doing pretty well. But he got the opportunity to tell whatever story he wanted to tell. He has stripped it down so that there are actually only three main principal characters in the show. So he's taken the character of Anne Darrow, played by Christiane Pitts, and given her a lot more agency, where before we think of her as this sort of screaming damsel in distress on top of the Empire State Building, kind of unresponsible for any of her actions or decisions she's made. This is a story about a go-getting, ambitious young actress who meets a filmmaker, Carl Denham's the character that I play, and together they go on a journey to try to make a motion picture in 1932, an adventure picture that's going to change the world, I think. So with every decision that Anne makes, you kind of see the outcome and what she's responsible for in a way that's very exciting in 2018, where she doesn't need to be saved by a man. There's no love story between a man saving her. It's just her, filmmaker, one other character named Lumpy, played by Eric Lochtefeld brilliantly, on a boat, and then it all just, you know, falls apart from there.
We have to talk about Kong. Okay, please. So from the New York Times, 20 feet tall, 2,000 pounds, muscular, hairless, steel skeleton, carbon fiber skull. His back and hips are molded fiberglass shells. His chest and abs are inflatable airbags. What else do I have here that's important? His body looks taut and tough, but it's pretty soft to the touch. He has a team of 10 onstage performers called King's Company that manually move him. One of them does his gorilla sounds. I just said a bunch of stuff that I've only read. Tell me what it's really like.
You nailed it. I liked muscular and hairless. It was a very good. That should be the tagline for the show. King Kong, alive on Broadway, muscular and hairless. But yes, so there's 10 actors on stage operating the puppet. It is actually part marionette puppet. So there are very incredibly strong, incredible people, the King's Company, who have wires and ropes and are responsible for making his arms and legs move. Specifically, if he gets his arm up in the air above his head, somebody needs to climb up on his back and attach themselves to a rope with their hand and then jump off his 20-foot back and pull down so that his other arm comes up. So if you picture what it's like operating a marionette puppet that's like 2 feet tall, then picture it 20 feet, and the only way you can get an arm to move is by using your whole body weight to get it going. So it's like an athletic event watching the scenes with him. It's completely fascinating and shocking how quickly you forget that there are people on stage operating him. It feels... Remember War Horse, the production? Right. It's like that's what everybody said. It was like, after 5 minutes, I just was watching the horse. And that feels like not only what we're going for, but just what happens until these huge action sequences happen. And you're watching 10 people dive and jump and pull ropes. And the whole thing, it's really like nothing I've ever seen before.
And who is responsible for making this up? How do they do it?
For sure. Sonny Tilders is the man who designed the puppet. The company Global Creatures that our executive producer Carmen Pavlovic runs right now, they were responsible for Walking with Dinosaurs, that show that came to New York, I guess it was about 10, 12 years ago. It's kind of the same technology, but they wanted to tell this story. They built the puppet and were so fascinated by what the puppet can do and how alive it becomes when there's three people in a booth in the back of the theater who operate his voice and his face. They have these joysticks that are able to kind of move his eyebrows. All the facial muscles that are in a human being are in Kong, so they're able to manipulate it and give him emotion. It's a live response, so it's like having another actor on stage. They're watching the show and responding in live time to what is happening on stage, which is wonderful. It's not like we have to act with this thing that is locked into some sort of click track or something. Right. We're just there with this live thing. So Kurt James is the actor who does the voice of Kong. So he's there watching, responding, growling, grunting, all of the things that a silverback gorilla does.
Right. Not talking, not singing.
Yes.
Gorilla.
Yes.
Action sounds.
There is no 11 o'clock number for King Kong where he sings about how he wants to go back to the jungle. No, it's
a big I want for bananas.
No, but that's like a valid question. Yeah. There's this musical on Broadway. It's King Kong. And the first question is, well, who's playing King Kong and does he sing? And there are 13 people playing King Kong. And indeed, he does not sing, which is good. It follows the format for like a monster movie. You think about the monster shows up about 40 minutes in. You've only heard about him before. He's there. He shocks you. And then when he comes and goes, you're always feeling like he's right around the corner, which is really awesome. But anyway, so there's three people in a booth. Danny Miller, Jacob Williams, and Kurt James are in the back operating his face and his voice, which is obviously a key part of the whole thing. And when it comes together, it's really... it's crazy. It's really cool.
I want to point out for listeners, there are videos online where you can see a little bit of Kong in action and the micro movements of his face. It's so expressive and insane that it's not a real animal. How does your character in King Kong was trying to like commercialize him to use him to make money? How do you interact with Kong in the play?
Absolutely. So my character, Carl Denham, is a filmmaker. So like a silent movie maker, 1932, right? He has made a few movies before, and he has this idea he's going to go to this island where he's heard there are a lot of crazy things that have happened before that nobody's really seen. So he gets this idea. He gets a crew on a boat. He has his actress and his camera, and he gets on a boat. He goes out there, and when they see what's on the island, which is our friend King Kong, Carl becomes obsessed with the fact that if he could capture this creature on film, it will be like nothing anybody's seen before. Pretty early on, Kong breaks the camera. So I'm stuck on the island without any way to photograph this thing that I think is going to change my life, right? So then Carl, my character, has this idea that he's going to bring him back to New York. So there are many interactions in which I'm going after him. I find him. I won't give anything away, but I find a way to get him back to New York. And then there's kind of the climax of the whole thing is the show that I have invented that I'm putting him on Broadway, which is the original plot of the movie as well, which is so much fun to actually be on Broadway with the thing that's a Broadway show. It's so satisfying to be up on stage as the curtain comes up and there he is on a Broadway stage and I'm turning around looking at people in the audience like, look what I did. We're on Broadway and here's a Broadway monkey. So that's very satisfying. So yeah. There's a lot of interaction, most of which are antagonistic with my character, but I hope if we tell the story correctly that you will see where I'm coming from. You know, he's an ambitious guy, but he never compromises, and he's very clear about what he wants to do.
Tell me about the music.
The music, Eddie Perfect has written the songs, and Marius DeVries has also composed the music for Kong and has produced a lot of the tracks as well. It's fantastic. It's modern feeling. But it also is wonderfully storytelling, dramatic in a musical theater sense that's really satisfying. It has been a joy to watch it come together because you think about King Kong and a musical, and it's tough to sort of reconcile those, but it is such a fresh-sounding thing. It's extremely exciting.
How, other than Kong himself, how is this work most different from other things that you've done, or is Kong the difference?
How is this work?
This piece, the play.
Yes. Well, Here's what's awesome about it. You know, they take musicals out of town to try them out, correct? I mean, we've all heard of an out-of-town tryout, right? Guess what you can't take out of town and try out?
King Kong?
Yes, a 20-foot, 2,000-pound gorilla that the fly space needed to be changed for the Broadway theater in order to get him into that theater. So they had this production in Melbourne in 2013, right? 5 years ago. And since then, they have rewritten all of it twice. Right, so this is the third version where they have just been wanting to get a modern feeling thing and wanting a story worthy of this creature that they've created. So what's mostly different about this is that I have been rehearsing this story in a rehearsal room with like a few actors, and it's felt like this small musical we're putting together. And then you get into the theater and it's this incredibly athletic spectacle in the best way. And I am extremely interested to see and have been interested watching it all to come together. That's what's been different about anything else is I have only been able to imagine how it's all going to fit together. And since we've moved into the theater, it's been really wonderful.
Do you have any current television commitments?
I have no current television commitments. No, this has been the thing I've been married to for the past couple of months.
So I was thinking, I was like, is he going back to something? Is he going to be doing Kong at night and TV during the day, which people do? It seems so exhausting.
Yes, that does seem exhausting. I'm not opposed to doing that, but that seems completely exhausting. Yeah. No, this is it. This is like full focus, which is very exciting. Yeah.
How do you and your Andero, Christiane Pitts, build that relationship?
That's been wonderful because this play feels like a play. It feels like, bang, 10-minute production number, and now you're sitting in a scene with two characters in a diner for like 5 minutes, and it feels like we are putting together a new drama. So we have had so much wonderful time spent just book work, working table work, working on the characters, and she is a wonderfully gifted actor. So it's been pretty instant, our connection, to try to build this thing. Yeah.
And tell me now about your director.
Drew McConey is the most annoying young genius I've ever worked with. I say annoying because if I had like a fraction of the energy and just physical brilliance that he had, I don't even know what I'd do with it, but it's every day he comes up with a new idea that has been just shocking. Like yesterday he had this completely out of the blue idea where he had to pull everybody together and be like, hey, I want these lights to flash on and the sound effect to go off at this moment when somebody gets slapped. And we're in this middle of this technical rehearsal, like, okay, can we just get through it? Like, why are we doing this? And then we went in and ran it and it worked instantly. And everybody was like, okay, he did it again. He's also like younger than half of the cast, which is so exciting because the Eddie Perfect, who wrote the songs, Jack Thorne, who wrote the book, Drew McConey, who's directing it, they're all young theater makers. And it feels like a very fresh, exciting new story.
Is Drew Australian?
Drew is British. So Eddie Perfect is Australian. Okay. Jack Thorne and Drew McConey are British, yeah.
And Kong is Australian?
Yes, he has an Australian accent when he roars and sings. Yes, Kong is completely Australian. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be just an incredible spectacle and a complete blast, as has been speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Sarah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Eric William Morris plays Carl Denham in King Kong on Broadway. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.